Hello and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. Inspired by last week's Are You Okay Day, we actually recorded a podcast the day after talking about how to be there for people. Sometimes people can do it in the right way, sometimes you cannot know what you're doing wrong. If you have any questions, this is a perfect podcast to start with. Enjoy and have a magical week. Hello everybody and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast. This is our first podcast we're recording in about a month, so that's very exciting. All the ones that you've been listening to, we recorded before that. And so now we're back, and so there's been a lot that's been happening, so we're going to have to go around the room and see how everyone's going. So I might start with Kanika, who's right next to me. Kanika, how have you been this last month?
I've been very relaxed because I've been overseas. Mm-hmm. Both of us have been in Greece. I don't know if you remember.
Wow.
I'll tell.
It's been really nice having just some time off and being somewhere warm. Mm-hmm. And going swimming and eating food.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. I wish I was there.
awkward podcast moment number 73.
It was really fun. And if you look at the ML feed, you'll see some pictures occasionally from that Greek trip. So you can live vicariously through our trip in the past. So go check those out. Go check out our social media. Let's check in with Danette. Danette, how have you been this last month?
Yeah, really good, Jez. Lots of travel. And it looks like I'm off to New Zealand next month for a week with one of my clients. So pretty excited about that. And my new passport turned up today. So that's pretty cool.
That is good. Good work. Just in the nick of time.
You can exactly.
New Zealand. I mean, I don't think you need a passport to go there, but you know.
You do.
Whoops, how did I get in? Anyway, Graham, how are you going? How's your month been?
You can edit that out in post, Jess, hopefully. I've been good. As Danette said, although Danette's had more travel than I have, but it's been busy. My eyeball is on the improve. I was tempted to rock the eye patch today, but then thought, no, I'll save that for the 19th of this month or next month. I don't know, whenever it is. But thank you for asking, but no, I'm not going to New Zealand with Danette.
Well, Graham, if you had the eye patch, it could have been a pirate themed episode and it could have been, are you okay day? You know, we could have blended all of that together in a beautiful thing, but next time.
Yeah. There's still time.
Alan, how are you going? How's the last month been?
Oh, it's been going fantastic, Jez, especially last week because I've been doing lots of, they call them high-risk tickets to operate cranes and dogging and rigging. And last week I got offered a job dogging under a luffer, which I gratefully accepted and then went and Googled that a luffer is a tower crane or a particular type of tower crane. So I got to work as a dogger in a high-rise building, which is one of those things I've always wanted to do since I was a kid.
What's a dogger?
It's like a 1930s version of a twerker, John. Is that true? Isn't it like what twerking used to be, or is that completely different? Have I got that wrong?
Twerking under a crane.
Yeah, I'm not sure what twerking is.
Me either.
I think the dogging term, John, came from the guy that the crane driver treated like as a dog. And got told to go around and tie the load to the crane.
Right.
Well, there you go. You learn something new every day. Thanks for that, Alex.
Okay, so maybe not exactly like twerking, but, you know.
Very similar.
Well, that sounds pretty cool, Alan. That's awesome. John, how have you been?
Been flat out, just with work and life and everything else. It's just been crazy. The last month, missed this. I was getting to a point where it's like, haven't spoken ML for a while. I better do something about that. So, but yeah, look, it's cold and wet here in Canberra. That's winter. Otherwise, all good.
Well, I'm glad that we could have this chat then. Otherwise, we should have just organized just a random group call, John, next time. Next time, you know?
I suppose I could have done that.
Well, anyway, it's good that we are back. I agree. I've missed it. I listened to the podcast when they're coming out over there. It was nice to like get a little bit of it, you know.
So that was good. And good work also to the team for the Harry podcast, which people will be able to listen to the last couple of weeks. Great episode. So great work, everybody. Today we're going to be talking about Are You Okay Day. This podcast is being recorded the day after Are You Okay Day, but it's going to come out the week after. So for those listening, it would have been a week ago. But it's still, I think, an important thing to keep in mind. It's not just one day. It's an important thing to sort of keep in mind all the time. So based on that, we wanted to talk about how to be there for someone today. This is kind of like, I think it's a good skill to have. And so I might just get straight into it. And I might start with Danette here. What do people sometimes get wrong when trying to help someone out?
So I'll add two because it's such a big group. But the first one is just ignoring it. So you can see that the person is struggling and it's like, oh, I'll just put my head down and just hope that it fixes itself. So not having that conversation can be one thing that we do wrong. And I think the opposite of that as well. So we have the conversation, but we just want to fix them. So it's like, okay, I don't really want to hear what's going on for you. I just want to give you a solution and not really giving the person the space. So they're my two, because I'm pretty sure there's going to be some rich answers in this group.
That's awesome. Thanks for that, Danette. That's a great options there. Love that. Thank you. Graham, I'll throw to you. What do people sometimes get wrong when trying to help someone out?
So a couple of things come to mind. But actually, I might just land with one, and that is ask first. And it sort of goes back in part to one of the things that Danette said about sometimes we just want to fix somebody because we can see that they're hurting or they're anxious or they're stressed or whatever it happens to be, and that can make us feel a little uncomfortable, and we don't like feeling uncomfortable. So our brain thinks, well, if I fix whatever problem they have, then they'll feel better, but I'll also feel better. And I think the best place to start sometimes, because the other thing that we've learned, certainly I have, through decades of trial and error, is it's almost impossible to help somebody who's not open to being helped. Mm-hmm. So I think asking first, and you can be respectful and you can be kind and you can be compassionate. You can be all of those things when you ask. I'm not entirely sure what the question should be, but I think, sometimes, are you okay? Is there anything I can do to help? Do you want to have a chat? Can I buy you a coffee or a hot chocolate or whatever it happens to be? So ask first.
Mm, yeah, I love that. Thank you for that, Graham. Kanika, I'll jump to you now. What do people sometimes get wrong when trying to help someone out?
I think for me, something that I've noticed that even I've done previously, which I am actively trying not to do, is that when I do ask someone how they're going or what's wrong, and they do decide to talk to me or do open up about it, we try and, a lot of people, myself included, used to do this, try and relate it back to something similar that's happened to me. Well, be like, oh my God, yes, I understand, because I went through something like this. And I think it's important to not shift the focus from the person to yourself, even if you're trying to, like, because it's coming from a good place, like it's not coming from, like, you're not trying to one-up the person, you're trying to kind of, it's a way to show that you understand, but it's not always the most helpful way to show that you understand. I think if you do have something to say, just kind of wait till they're finished talking. And I guess, like, gauge the situation. Is it relevant? Is it important for you to talk about your experiences in this moment? And if it's not, don't say anything. And I think another thing I would say is when someone does want to talk to you about something I do is I ask, I'm just like, do you want my opinion? Do you want a solution? Or do you just want me to hear you out right now? Mm. And I kind of let them tell me, and then I will respond appropriately.
That's a good one. Yeah, yeah. That one is a good one. Thanks for that, Kanika. John, I'll throw to you. What do people sometimes get wrong when trying to help someone out?
For me, it's we go there, or they start telling the story, and you end up with a preconceived idea of what the solution should be. So we jump to the solution rather than listen to the story. And I think it goes back to what people are saying. And even Graham sort of said, ask, what can I do to help? Because as a bloke, you want to fix the problem and then move on to the next thing. And that's one of my biggest flaws, is it's like, yeah, let's go, let's fix this and let's move on. But fixing it isn't necessarily what is needed. It may just be to listen. It may be to, you know, provide a book or, you know, a support of some sort. So don't jump to the answer. Let it unfold in the story that's being told, so that you listen and you hear all of that.
Yeah, thanks for that, John. Great answer as well. I love that. Alan, I'll throw to you. What do people sometimes get wrong when trying to help someone out?
The one that I really relate to, Jez, is that idea of fixing, which when I first heard about it, I thought, great, I'm not going to fix. And I realise, you know, my brain will come up with so many different ways to help the person, change the person, resolve the situation. And ultimately, a lot of it for me comes down to, it's about helping me feel comfortable. And I've realised when I can feel comfortable sitting with the other person, for example, if they're sad, they don't have to be happy. It's okay to be sad. When I can sit with them in their emotions and normalise those emotions, quite often that's all the other person needs.
Yeah, thanks for that. And that is it's a great point. Thank you so much for those answers. I feel like we got a nice thing for people that might be listening to this and wanting to work out where they might be going wrong. I think that was a really good selection of answers. So thank you, everybody. Alan, I'll stay with you there. What are some good techniques to be supportive?
I feel like I'm on Family Feud. This time, Jez, I've got the open slab. for me, it probably sounds weird. I call it do nothing, which for me is all about, you know, noticing my own emotions. Am I trying to fix this or am I sitting with the person? And this goes back to many years ago when I was in hospital with our second daughter, and we'd been there for quite a long time, and we had visitors come in who were trying to cheer me up. And that was just so hard for me to, you know, try and be cheered up. But I always remember one couple who just came and sat with me. And I remember when they left, that was so different. I actually got time to, you know, talk about what I wanted to talk about. And my language was they did nothing, but I guess that's sitting quietly and listening.
Yeah, that's great, Al. Thanks for that story as well. I think that really helps. That's a great example. So thank you for that. John, I'll go to you now. What are some good techniques to be supportive?
For me, it's you don't walk away. So one of the things I learned, I used to work for Lifeline, which is a telephone helpline here in Australia, and people can ring up and do whatever. But when you're dealing with people who are potentially suicidal or self-harming or, you know, wanting to hurt themselves, you can sit there and listen and go, right, I've got to go get help. And what they actually see is you getting up and walking away from them. Yes, at one level, they understand that you're going to get help. But at another level, you're just someone who's leaving them again. So if you're listening to someone who is in a great deal of pain or contemplating ending their life or whatever, sit with them, be with them. And if you're going to get help, take them with you. You know, do things with them so that they see that, you know, you're a guide, you're not dragging them along and you're not leaving them.
Yeah, I love that, John. Thanks. And that's a really helpful one. I'd never thought of that. So that's really good. Thank you for that. Kanika, what are some good techniques to be supportive?
I think where I come from, like, feeding people is a love language. So I would maybe like offer to, like, maybe, because I feel like people that are down and out, it's really hard for them to like look after themselves. Or like I've been in positions where it's really hard for me to look after myself. And I feel like having someone like come over and do something nice for you is really nice. Mm. Like it's really, really good. Like having to do something that you can't do for yourself in this moment is really good. Because I've had that done for me. Mm. Like when, this is a small thing, but even when we just came back last week, I was so tired, but I was really adamant on not eating like takeaway because I was sick of eating like non-home cooked food. And my friend, she like cooked like the most extravagant home cooked meal and like had us over. They live down the road and like fed us, and I was like, And she was all like, I did this for you. I was like, yes. I mean, that felt really, really good. So I guess like I'd like to do something to look after someone, whether it's even like helping them clean their house, you know, just like actually like, because a clean space maybe might feel better. I guess it depends on how well you know the person or not. But yeah, I guess that's how I would show support.
Love it. Good one. Good one. Graham, what are some good techniques to be supportive?
I just, everything that's been said resonates so deeply with me, and I'm trying to find a way of wrapping it all up and leaving space for Jeanette. Some of the aspects of empathy about being present, recognizing somebody else's perspective as their perspective, and doing that without judging whether their perspective is right or wrong, and being able to communicate that, which partly comes back to just being present. And acknowledging or recognizing before we start sometimes that doing that's really hard because it can make us feel uncomfortable. But going back to what Al said, this is not about us being happy. You know, if we're going to be serious about being there for somebody else, sometimes it's ugly, it's messy, it's uncomfortable, it's confusing, it's uncertain, it's chaotic. And that's exactly where we need to be. So I think everything that the others have shared, and I was umming and ahhing about sharing this because it's not my story, but I still think it's hugely relevant. And it sort of, it ties in with what Kanika shared. I was talking to somebody last year about people being in a hard place, locked down, not able to get out, really struggling, you know, very, very little resilience. And a friend who was really struggling, couldn't get out of the house. Just even when they were allowed out of the house, just couldn't drag themselves out of the house. So a friend went over, took popcorn, a box of Cornettos or drumsticks, like Choc Tops, and some movies. And they sat on the lounge in their pajamas and ate popcorn and ate Choc Tops and watched movies. And there was no conversation. And that's exactly what the person needed.
Yeah, and that's great as well. That's showing that, you know, like support, you know, I guess that's another thing that is like support doesn't have to just be a verbal thing. It's just sometimes it's just being actually just there. So that's great. Thanks for that. And Jeanette, what are some good techniques to be supportive?
So I think one is to remember not to be judgmental with the person. So be curious, because that curiosity allows them space. And I think the one, because emotions are scary, and particularly strong emotions, a lot of people, and we've had this on this conversation already, a lot of people are like, I don't know what to do. So I think actually just learning more. So whether it's listening to a podcast, earlier this year I did the mental health first aid course. Absolutely highly recommend it to everyone, because it just gives you some techniques, some resources, some language around it. And be okay with being uncomfortable, because this is your way of stretching your understanding of what emotions mean, what they're telling us and telling others, and being able to learn with others and support them. So for me, there's some really important things we can do.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you for that, Jeanette. The final question is going to be, what daily practices can we do, which I'll get to in a second. But one that I did want to touch on is I started watching this masterclass, this new one by Esther Perel, and it's on relational intelligence. And one good tip that I got from that was that she said that even if someone tells you a story, it's important to remember that most people are not coming from the same place in any way. So sometimes, I think this is kind of coming back to what Kanika was saying, but trying to relate a similar situation, or even trying to sometimes understand what they would do, what you would do in that situation, isn't helpful, because they may have a totally different other way to look at things, you know, and a totally different system of how they deal with things. So anyway, yeah, sometimes just being there can just be that thing. So anyway, and I recommend that masterclass to people that have masterclass. All right, well, let's stay with you, Jeanette. What daily practices can we do to make us a little bit better at being there for others?
So obviously the self-care one is super important. I also think in relation to this topic, try not to do it all ourselves. So, because then we can run out of steam too. So being able to enlist others to support that person as well, I think can be really helpful. And the last one for me is, and I think this is for all of us, we know that our brain fully opens up when we listen to music. and when we ask great questions. So I think part of our daily practice is also finding perhaps a playlist that, you know, can support us to feel better, and also asking ourselves questions that keep us resilient, keep us on the straight and narrow, but also being okay with asking for help. Because I think that's one thing that most people struggle with. We're all really good at giving help. We're often really, we struggle with asking for help, and yet asking for help gives the other person the opportunity to give help. So I think stretching of that one as well can be helpful for us. Great question, Jez. Great topic too.
Yeah, no, great work, Danae. I love that. That was a great answer. Graham, I'll throw to you. What daily practices can we do to make us a bit better at being their fathers?
I had Danae mentioned self-care, and that was probably at the top of my list. So the other one I'd share is the idea of disconnect to reconnect. And I acknowledge that, you know, it's semi-ironic that we're using technology to create, record, and ultimately to be able to share this podcast with people potentially around the world. And at the same time, we know from decades of science that this level of connection is nowhere near as good as connecting with somebody in person. So, you know, finding or creating an opportunity to spend less time on a device and more time having a conversation with someone.
Yeah, and I also think that this does kind of feel, at least for me, a little bit like disconnection, because I'm not doing other stuff. I'm just only focused on this in some way. So it is sort of like a connection, but I know what you mean. It's totally different than us being all in a room. And those podcasts are always fun when we get to do them, so that's cool. Yeah. And speaking of people that are in the room, Kanika, what daily practices can we do to make us a bit better at being there for others?
I feel like just practice being open-minded and empathetic. I don't know how you would practice being empathetic, but if there is a way to do that, please do that. But like, I guess being open-minded, because like Jess said, based off of that relational thing, not everybody's coming from the same place, and sometimes it's hard to kind of like see something from like a completely new perspective, you know, and not judge the person or not be, because like, not only would you be thrown off by like the emotional intensity of something, but you would also be thrown off by the fact that this is like coming from like a walk of life or sort of like a perspective or an identity that you've never really like encountered, experienced, heard of. So I guess like practicing being open-minded, whether it's through reading books, I feel like my mind opens up when I read things from different perspectives. Even if I only almost exclusively read fiction, I did this thing when I was growing up that I would read books from different countries that were translated from different languages and based in those countries to kind of get a feel of what that place felt like. And I guess like doing something similar could help open up your mind. Mm. Yeah, that's
good one. Yeah, I think that's a great answer. Thanks for that, Kanika. John, I'll go to you now. What daily practices can we do to make us a bit better at being their fathers?
Having worked in fields for quite a few years where I've dealt with disadvantaged kids or worked with docs or, you know, and having to take kids off parents because of neglect or anything else, one of the things I had to create very quickly for myself was a lot of self-awareness and knowing what was my stuff and what was their stuff. So being able to say, okay, I walk into a house and, you know, the kids are being beaten or, you know, neglected, malnourished, whatever it is, and being able to walk out of that house with, you know, with the child or whatever the situation entailed, but going, okay, that's how they live. It's not what I do. So when I go home, you appreciate your family a lot more. You know, you count your blessings. I heard a story early on where a person was in, you know, had a family, and every day when they parked their car, they'd walk over to a tree that they had planted early and would just touch the leaves just before he walked in the door. And it was about, I'm leaving all my issues out here so that when I walk in that door, I can be present and love my family with everything I have. And it's those simple things and creating that, you know, that awareness of my stuff is very different to what I deal with. And my stuff is actually can be better at times, but is good. So counting your blessings, I think those sorts of practices become really good.
Yeah, I love that. And that's a great little tip right there as well. So thanks so much for that, John. Really appreciate it. Alan, what daily practices can we do to make us a little bit better at being there for others?
I love what John's talking about with self-awareness, Jez. And for me, I call it creating an intention. One of the things that my wife Renee and I do is, because this is important to us, we practice with one another, because when we're learning anything new, we're going to make mistakes. And we'd rather do it with someone that we feel comfortable with. And going back to, I call it fixing, quite often when we're having conversations, we've given one another the permission to let us know, you know, I feel like you're trying to fix me. Or ask, have I gone into fixing? Or, you know, what do you need now? And it's working it out with one another in a safe place, so that we've built that muscle, so that one day when, you know, somebody else close to us or somebody special needs help, we've already been practicing.
Love that. Thank you so much for that, Alan. And thank you all so much. Some really great tips there. I think there's a lot of stuff that if you're listening to this podcast, you can take away. So thank you so much, everybody. Great podcast. Great first one back. Let's just have some final thoughts. And I'll stay with you, Alan. Just final thoughts on how to be there for someone.
I guess the big one for me, like John mentioned, is self-awareness. Notice, am I making it about me and me feeling comfortable? Or am I sitting here with the other person, I guess, meeting whatever their need may be?
Great tip. Thank you. Thank you so much for that, Alan. John, final thoughts on how to be there for someone?
Yeah, final thoughts. Look, the AUOK Day hasn't been around all that long, the concept. And as blokes, we've always been terrible about sharing our feelings. So to me, I think we're shifting in a very positive way around supporting others, sex, gender, whatever, doesn't matter. But it's, you do it at their pace. So, yeah, don't try and, as I said earlier, don't try and get to the end goal of what your end goal is, because it may not be theirs, but do it at their pace and slow down.
Yeah, love it. Thank you so much, John. Kanika, final thoughts on how to be there for someone?
I guess just listen to what they need and give them what they need and not what you think they need.
Perfect. <Yeah. laughs> Thanks for that. Graham, final thoughts on how to be there for someone?
Going back to what John said about, you know, Are You Okay Day hasn't been around for long. And, you know, why can't we? So on one hand, why do we need an Are You Okay Day? Why isn't it every day? How do we make it every day? So I think, you know, set your attention at the start of the day. How are you going to show up today to be open, to be available to help someone?
Perfect. Thanks for that, Graham. And finally, Danette, final thoughts on how to be there for someone.
I've actually got a couple, if that's okay. So Kanika's suggestion about reading fiction, there's actually a whole stack of science that now shows that makes us more empathetic because we see different perspectives. So it's great advice. I love John's story about touching the leaves before they went into the house. There's a lot of science around how if you are in nature and, you know, hug a tree, touch leaves, etc., that takes that energy from you and creates something way better. So getting out in nature can be super helpful. And to everyone's points around self-awareness, you can't be self-aware if you're rushing. So slowing down and focusing on what's important, and things unimportant, people are important. So remembering the moment you rush, you are not going to pick up the signals from the other person as well as you will when you're deliberate. So I love the intentional bit as well. So thank you. It was a bit longer than normal.
No, that's totally fine. And thank you all so much. What a great chat. I feel like I got so many good stories, so many good insights. It was amazing. So thank you all so much. Thank you to everybody that's been listening. I hope you're having a good week, and I hope you enjoyed our little podcast that we've had over the last month. And everybody that's watching it and enjoying it, thank you so much for listening and sharing it. We're doing great stuff, so it's great. And we're having a lot more interviews coming up as well, so that's also very exciting, but we'll get to that soon. Anyway, Until next time, have a magical week.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Yay!